Cast of the Champions, Episode 9. Welcome. I am your host, Mike. Going to take a look at some of the current going on in the state of WWE right now. I'm also going to talk about a couple other things. I got this rock festival I'm going to this weekend in Concord over at Charlotte Motor Speedway called Carolina Rebellion. I'm going to kind of touch up on some of the bands I'm going to hit up there, so that's going to be pretty cool. Well, like I said last week, I'm coming from you from North Carolina. We made our move. I'm now in place. I'm still on, I guess you can call it vacation. I don't go back to work until next Friday. So I've been kind of doing a whole lot of nothing over the last, I want to say 2 months. Because even when I was working up in New York, I wasn't doing shit. But next week, I actually go back to work. So I don't know. Maybe I'll get lazy on this thing again. I hope not, because actually I've been having fun over the last month or so doing it with Paul and then back on the lines down here. As you could probably tell, I'm going to take a little bit different approach now. This is not just going to be, it's going to be mainly wrestling, yeah, but it's going to be a lot of other stuff going on too, sports and all that other good shit that I feel like talking about. Like today I'm talking about Carolina Rebellion, going over there this weekend, so should be some good shit. Before I get to that, I can't say fuckery, so I'm not going to say that anymore. I was threatened to be sued by Paul this week for saying, last week for saying fuckery, so I'm going to get some of the administrative actions out of the way. You can follow me on Twitter at either one of my Twitter sites, at Cast of Champion or at Mike Spiesman. If you know how to spell it, I will put it in the comments section of this, the little synopsis here. And also you can go to facebook.com/castofthechampions, all one word. So, and also don't forget to go check out the NitroCast, at Paul's great work. I listened to it today. Talk about a couple of shitty nitros that happened, and you know, all that good stuff. Yeah, he's also stealing some of my thunder by talking about some of the current products, so fuck him. I don't know what he has against midgets, because you guys never met Paul, but if you have, you'll know that he too is a midget. So why he has problem against midgets, I'll never know. I guess that's, you know they don't like their own kind, I guess. I don't know. But I will talk about midgets in a little bit, as you know, Raw kind of had a segment on there about midgets. So, first, before I talk about Raw, just a little bit about SmackDown. I haven't been watching a lot of SmackDown, but I did catch most of the SmackDown on this last week, and one of the better shows I've had in a long time. The Shield pretty much dominated the whole show, because it was announced at the beginning of the show that by Vicky Guerrero that the Shield will be going in a 3-on-11 handicap match at the end of for the main event, which is, it kind of went reverse. Usually they duplicate what happened on SmackDown on Raw, but this time they kind of went reverse from a couple weeks ago, a couple weeks ago. And but they announced ahead of time, so the Shield took the first hour and a half to kind of, you know, get the odds a little bit fairer, and they took out most of the guys in the 11-on-3 match. So when I actually got down to the match, I think there was a 3-on-5 or 6, and they still managed to get over, and they were left standing at the end of the night. So, you know, that was pretty cool. They also got the beat up on Bragmatix a little bit. So, but yeah, that was just a really good show centered on those guys, which, you know, is not a bad thing. If you're going to pretty much have a Shield show, you know, that was the way to do it. But, you know, entertaining show, fun show. And then we had Raw. Now Raw started off with one of the best segments they've started off with in a long time. I honestly can't remember when the last great segment was, besides the Occupy Raw thing. I thought that was pretty cool. But the show opening segment of John Cena came out, was asking why, and he was showing the foundation of a possible heel turn. Yeah, but it ain't ever gonna happen. So it's just one of those. He's just fucking with internet geeks like me. And then the music started playing, and you could hear the lights went out, I should say. And then you heard "He's Got the Whole World in His Hands" sung by kids. So when the lights came back on, it was a choir of kids, which I found out later was actually a high school choir. And they were singing "He's Got the Whole World in His Hands." And then Bray Wyatt came out, and he led them in renditions of the song and putting C-Nation and all that stuff in there. And then they walked around the ring and kept singing. And this whole time, I forgot to mention John Cena standing in the cage. And he's just got his head in his hands, cannot believe what's going on. He just knows that he's pretty much lost everybody. And it was an awesome segment. The lights went out after done singing, and all the kids were wearing sheet masks. It was phenomenal. Just an awesome, awesome sight. And it just looked really cool. And John Cena just looked like he was going to lose it. He was going to start bawling because his whole demographic of, you know, kids, you know, it was just slipping out the... It was just going away, and it looked really good. The best part was when Bray Wyatt had one of those kids in his lap while he's sitting there laughing. Really, really good segment. Cena kind of shit on it later on in the show when he basically, you know, he just shit on his, he even shit on his promo. You know, any little notion that you might have a John Cena heel turn went away when he came out and said he understands, and blah, 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 blah. Really pissed on the segment, so... But overall, I mean, that show, that segment, just to start off with, badass, awesome. I give that an A+. And then, but Cena later on just kind of killed it a little bit with his, you know, his John Cena-ness. You know, he's going to ruin everything. So, after that, we went into a tag match for the World Tag Team titles between you, for the World Tag Team titles between the Usos and Ryback. So, it was a pretty decent match. And then the Usos won. Now, this is the problem I have with this match is why is this match not on the pay-per-view? And this leads into something that I'm going to be saying a lot about today, is that Raw as 3 hours is too fucking long. This match just proves it, because we have this match going on that should be in the pay-per-view, because they're trying to give Ryback all this rub to be, you know, a contender as a legitimate tag team. But here we are having their match as a blow-off match on Raw, and then they lose, of course. So, you know, it just... Raw needs to go back to 2 hours. It's longer than pay-per-views right now, or special editions, whatever the hell they're called. But really, Raw is longer than pay-per-views, and I don't know. It's just so annoying. So, decent match, but should have been on a pay-per-view with a lot more time. Next match didn't even count as a match. It was Sheamus and Titus O'Neil, and Sheamus squashed him with a bro kick. So, yeah, they've kind of killed on O'Neil. I mean, what the hell is he... why they went through all this trouble to turn him heel just to beat up on Darren Young for a couple weeks, and then all of a sudden he's jobber to the stars. On the same level as Dolph Ziggler, only he's a heel. So, whatever. also, we had the Dolph... now, here is where we find out. Hugh Jackman is on Raw. They teased it for 2 weeks. At the same time, they had Dolph Ziggler talking about how he's good friends with him and they want to bury the hatchet. Shit like this, just it shows how stage wrestling is, because he's just supposed to forget that he broke his jaw, 2 years ago? I mean, come on. You could have put him with someone better. And then on top of that, you got someone like Damian Sandow come out dressed like a fucking idiot. Just as Magneto, just looking like a retard, and this is something that a legitimate guy is supposed to, who was supposed to get pushed a long time ago, and here he is dressed like a moron. And then of course he gets beat up. Of course he doesn't get punched by Hugh Jackman, because Hugh Jackman probably break his jaw, but he hit tosses him and then takes a zigzag. So it's a ridiculous segment. Paul said something about how Sandow should be a manager, and maybe that's the best way to do it. I don't see him wanting to do that, because the guy wants to wrestle, which I don't blame him, but it was just ridiculous. Keep celebrities off Raw. That's all I'm going to say. Unless they have some kind of... They're bringing something to the table, and just doing a hip toss and plugging your movies is not something to the table. But it gets Vince the mainstream, which he wants to do. Next match... was a match that, and again, another one that should have been for the pay-per-view, we end up finding out it's going to be, but it was Cesaro and Jack Swagger. And these guys, was not a great match. It really wasn't. I think probably, hopefully they're saving it for Sunday, because, you know, later on we get, you know, after the Raw post-show, we're going to have, find out we're going to get a triple threat match with these two and Rob Van Dam. But it just was not a good match. It just made Cesaro, it keeps giving Cesaro the rub, makes him look bigger, which is, you know, what they're really trying to do is get him big, but, you know, it is what it is. Next match is Cody Rhodes and Alberto Del Rio, and the falling of Cody Rhodes continues Looking like he's going to have his the feud they've all been talking about for years with Goldust, but something that probably should happen before WrestleMania, but they're going to break him up now and have that match. And of course, it looks like they're going to do it with Cody Rhodes as a heel, which is nothing that nobody wanted, because I really thought Cody Rhodes is going to be a face. He needs a chance to be a face. He's always been a heel, or he's been this goofy freaking tag team, you know, face with his dumbass brother who shouldn't even be wrestling anymore. So, you know, it is what it is. Next out, we get Rusev against Xavier Woods. And then, you know, I didn't even know it, but they signed a match for Extreme Rules between Rusev and a handicap match against Xavier Woods and R-Truth. So, yeah, we know what's going to happen there. The one thing that did stick out to me about this is when R-Truth came in and called disqualification, they were sure to point out that Rusev won via disqualification, which leads me to believe that they might try to do some kind of undefeated streak down the line angle with Rusev, kind of in the same way they did with Goldberg and WCW. So that's just something that stuck out to me and could be done. I'm not really buying into Rusev. He's kind of boring, but you know what? You get to see Thaddeus Valley, Lana every week and come out and talk. So that makes it worth it. So, yeah. So that was just a plug for their worthless, going to be a squash 2-on-1 match. And again, it goes back to what I've said before. I can't stand handicap matches on pay-per-views. There's no place for them. It's ridiculous. It's something you should do on a Raw. But, you know, I don't make this shit. So the next match is Los Matadores versus Heath Slater and Drew McIntyre. But, of course, the whole focus here is on Hornswoggle and El Torito. And they announced before it that they're going to have a WLC during the Extreme Rules pre-show on Sunday. So, yeah, I guess of all things, I'm glad they put it on the pre-show, because it's just ridiculous. I don't got nothing against midgets at the given time. I just don't like Hornswoggle because they switch them around so much. But, you know, midget wrestling is pretty cool, but they just... it's not the forum for it. I mean, keep it out off of WWE. You know, it needs to have its own little thing. You know, I would go to, actually, if a midget wrestling company came here, independent company, I would go watch it. I just don't want to see it on TV. I got nothing against midgets. You know, Paul's a midget. He's one of my best friends. But, you know, it's just something I don't like for wrestling. The next segment is Stephanie's apology for Daniel Bryan. She just insists that it wasn't her that had Kane come out there. It was just, you know, she just wanted to liven him up, and she thinks she might have overdone it, and blah 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 blah. And of course, Daniel Bryan isn't believing it. Says she's full of crap. She just said she wouldn't want to give him a credible opponent at Extreme Rules, which is what they've done with Kane. So she says, and she's going to. To show how sorry she is, she's going to give Brie Bella Brie Danielson, I guess her name is now, the chance to win the women's title in the match right now against Paige. So Paige comes out, and pardon me if I'm wrong, but Paige's supposed to be a face too, and now Brie's supposed to be a face, but Paige came out and did all kind of heel tactics, so whatever it was. And if you already know where this is going. Kane comes out through the ring, tries to pull Paige, but Brie down. Daniel Bryan gets in after taking a choke slam. You know, Brie's outside the ring. And then, again, I don't understand why she got back in the ring. And she just showed... it was bad camera, I don't know. But they just showed her feeding her leg to Kane to try to pull her down into hell. Which I guess underneath the ring is hell. It's not just, you know, stuff down there that they use to set up the ring. But why she got back in the ring was beyond me. It just looked retarded. So, but, you know, it just still makes Kane look like a monster for the pay-per-view. And Daniel Bryan is not the greatest. And it's like Paul said in his podcast today, it's just a guy's going through a lot. You know, he's got married and his dad died. And so, like, if he's as close to his dad as I am, then I understand. You know, it's losing your dad is a hard thing to do. So it's going to take him a little bit to get over it. So, excuse me. The next match is the finals of the Intercontinental Title Tournament, which, by the way, they didn't really advertise at all throughout the show. So as much as a billion as they gave this thing for the last 3 weeks, just to kind of have it be a blow-off match, you know, we got to see Bad News Barrett, and he talks, and the one thing that Baden's Barrett said the last time, what was his wording on this? The last time Rob Van Dam won the Intercontinental title, he was still in diapers, so which was 8 years ago in 2006. So evidently, Wade Barrett wore diapers up until he was 25 years old. I'm just saying. His words, not mine. I got it, what he was trying to say, but still, he's kind of giving it dumb. I mean, Rob Van Dam, it's not like he just left, like, you know, he left like 15 years ago when you're, if you're 20 then, you know, you're still in there or whatever. But why, it's kind of think about what you're saying sometimes, because people like me will take it too literally. But in the long run, Bad News Barrett wins after some interference by Cesaro, and Swagger came out too. And of course, they just set up the triple threat match at Extreme Rules between RVD, Cesaro, and Jack Swagger. The last match was Roman Reigns versus Randy Orton. At this time, I remember hearing that Ric Flair was going to be on the show, but it never even occurred to me that he hasn't been on the show yet. And then both Evolution and the Shield are in the ring, and this is the time Ric Flair comes out. That's when I remembered, oh shit, yeah, that's right, Ric Flair is supposed to be out here. So he comes out, shakes hands with Evolution, talks about how he loved the party, he missed Orton and Batista and Saturday nights when it was time to party. He just sounded horrible. I guess he was drunk or something. And then he went over, and I guess in some weird way during his promo, he acknowledged the Shield was the new group of the WWE, I guess. Went over and shook their hands while the Evolution guys looked all pissed off. Don't get it. I don't understand. He just sounded like shit. Then on top of that, he basically, best what we got from it, and I know that people on the internet got from it, was he gave the nod to the Shield as the most powerful group right now. But then during the post show later on, he said about to be the man, you got to beat the man. Right now, Evolution is the man, which is totally against what he said, you know, 3 minutes prior to that. Anyway, the match ended in no contest, and Evolution took part in one of the most boring beatdown segments I've ever seen. I just was about to turn it. I was so bored of this, to the point when Shield took over, I wasn't even excited. It was just like, oh, okay, they did get back at him, and then the Shield was, you know, standing there doing their celebration stuff. I don't know. Just kind of a sloppy shit. I'm just gonna go, you know, the Shield, it may basically, if you go the old adage, you need to get over on Monday, you lose on Sunday. So we'll see. I have my predictions in a few minutes after that, but Raw, this show was the epitome of why 3 hours is just too fucking long, because you start off with that hot segment, one of the best segments they've had in months, and then after that, it just really went downhill and spiked maybe a little bit during Daniel Bryan and spiked just a little bit more during the Shield Evolution thing because of Ric Flair, and then he sucked. So, you know, and I guess Raw drew their best ratings in weeks after this one because the ratings made in the shitter because of the NBA playoffs and everything. But this is just, I couldn't believe it. After that first segment, it really was not a good show. It was better than last week, I'll give you that, but 3 hours is too long, and I know it's not going anywhere. You know, if you really think about it, Raw is actually 4 hours long because you have the half-hour pre-show, which I watch every week. Just, you know, I like the pre-show because it gives you that, you know, the NFL Sunday, you know, real feel, like the pre-show. Like you're getting pumped up for it. They talk, you know, they don't, you know, these guys actually, they talk like what they're seeing is all true to life and it's legit. You know, not that it's all staged, and I'm not going to use the F word because I know a lot of people are against the F word in wrestling, but that's what I like about the pre-show. The post-show, on the other hand, is kind of boring. It's just kind of reiterating the same shit that they had to. But going to the whole 3 hours for Raw thing, I don't know how many times, as good as that first segment was, they dumbed it down during the show by showing it 4 times. Their first time and then 3 replays of it. And the replays alone, and the replays alone, not even the 3 replays they showed, not the original segment, took up about 15 minutes of airtime. So right there is 15 minutes of filler time they had, and then you throw in all the other crap, you know, about the Hugh Jackman shit, and it just, they need to go back to 2 hours. I know it's not going to happen. I mean, Paul have talked at length about this, and it's not going away, but it's just ridiculous. I mean, you if they're going to keep it 3 hours, build better storylines in the mid-card. And that's where it goes to, where you're really enthralled in everything that's going on. But right now, they're so all over the fucking place the storytelling just sucks, you know. Straight up, the storytelling for the mid card sucks. Main events there, kind of. I mean, obviously the Daniel Bryan thing, we know what's going on there, but it's just, there's my little rant. Last week I had my Ultimate Warrior rant, and this week is, you know, my 3-hour Raw rant. Well, speaking of the Warrior, I actually spent some time this last week watching some stuff on WWE Network about the Warrior. I still wasn't a big Warrior fan, but one of the things was you got to see Sting in there. So it looks like he's actually in there. Don't know when he's going to, if and when he makes his appearance, but I'm just glad. I don't care when he comes. I just want to see Sting in WWE. That's just me. All right, now I'm going to kind of go over my predictions for the Extreme Rules pay-per-view. On paper, it's not a bad looking card. There are a couple of filler snags in there that kind of irritate you. But besides that, there are some good matches on here. The build up has been okay for some of it. I don't want to know. You know, the first match I'm going to talk about here is the pre show, El Torito and Hornswoggle. Don't care. I go with El Torito for the win. And then hopefully we call it a day there. The next match is the Intercontinental Title match. Big E and Bad News Barrett, which my biggest problem with this, I like the tournament, but the thing was, where was Big E during this whole tournament? He had a couple, you know, Superstars match, and he never wasn't, did you ever see, unless I missed it, was he ever really watching the matches to see who his opponent was going to be? He never cut any promos and nothing, really, that I can really remember off the top of my head. So the build-up for it, the tournament was okay until the finals, because the build-up for the show sucked for it. But, you know, I don't see anything happening here but Barrett winning. So he's going to win. And I know what they're trying to do. They're trying to give the Intercontinental title that notoriety that they used to have back in the 80s, you know, I'll even say 90s. Hopefully they put it on Barrett, they can make it something again. In order to do that, they need to get rid of the U.S. title. So if they can merge it with that one, that'd be fine. Or keep it and have it be like the TV title, which is like just below that tier, but get it off of Dean Ambrose. Give it to one of these guys, the other guys. I don't know, but yeah, I'm going with Barrett in that one. The triple threat match, excuse me, with Swagger, Van Damme, and Cesaro. The only problem I see with this match right now is it's Extreme Rules match. You got RVD in it. It was made in ECW. But there's nothing about it. There's nothing major about it. I think I saw something on the screen the other day that said it's an Extreme Rules elimination match, which is kind of ECW-like because that's how they used to do their triple threats, where it was you pin, you lose, and you're out. So if that's the way it is, I'll say Swagger gets pinned first, and then Cesaro wins on Van Damme. But I hope they add some stipulation before it, whether if it's on the pre-show or what. I didn't really read the spoilers for SmackDown, so I can't really tell you if that's going to be there or not. But but we'll see, you know. Rusev and Xavier Woods and R-Truth. Rusev's going to win that. Yeah, it's going to be a squash handicap match. That's all I got to say about that. When Rusev gets, like I said, if my prediction's right and they're going on that whole undefeated streak thing going on there with him, you know, he won't be a bigger name until he starts wrestling the big guys and as just part of his undefeated streak. So we'll see that. Paige and Tamina Snuka. I don't see them taking the belt off Paige. And if I'm wrong, tell me, but I haven't really seen any face-to-face stare downs between Paige and Snuka, which again leads me to say, how come there hasn't been any build for their match? There really hasn't. You know, she's been undefeated in all her title defenses and matches she's had since being on the main roster, but there hasn't been any build with Tamina. So I say Paige is going to win that match. Bray Wyatt and John Cena. The only real match on the pay-per-view that's had build-up. It's had a story going into it this whole time. I think this is going to be the one where Bray Wyatt gets the Duke. He gets the win, which should be a decent match. Cage matches kind of lost their luster since they took away blood and everything. There's not really so much you can do in a cage. So, but they should put on a pretty good match. And like I said, Bray Wyatt should get the win there. WWE World Heavyweight Championship match. Daniel Bryan and Kane. Oh, so build-up. But, you know, they've reestablished Kane as a monster. I want to say this could be a screw job ending where it leaves it where they could have another match at the next pay-per-view, which off the top of my head, I can't remember the name of it is. But, special show, I'm sorry. But there's no way Daniel Bryan loses his title here. That straight off the bat, that's how it goes there. But Daniel Bryan either going to win, or it's going to be one of those no contest, double disqualification, one of those things, so they can continue the feud. Just to, while they give the Evolution and the Shield guys, you know, their thing. So Evolution and the Shield, Evolution's going to go over here. Shield's going to give a valiant effort. I'd like to see, I'm really liking what the Shield's doing now, but I could see, some kind of heel turn by one of the members of the Shield. I know Paul mentioned something about maybe being Roman Reigns, and that would make sense because they're the guy that they're building. You know, you put him under Triple H's wing and make him a heel again. You know, I would be okay with that. But really, I like to keep the Shield together just a little while longer. Don't, you know, end that right away. So, but that's it. Seven matches, and well, eight if you count the shitty pre-show, the WLC. I don't even know what they're going to do for that. I just know that it's probably going to be, you know, the Mexican midget winning. So, but yeah, that's the pay-per-view. Should be a pretty good pay-per-view. I'm actually probably not going to catch it live. I know I'm not going to catch it live because I am going to Carolina Rebellion this weekend, which is, like I said before, is at the Charlotte Motor Speedway. It's actually in the camping area of the Charlotte Motor Speedway. Me and my wife, who by the way, got confirmation this week that my wife of almost 12 years is pregnant with her third child. So thank you for all your congratulations on that. I know I'll be getting a lot of it from my millions and millions of viewers. So we're going to this rock festival, and I gotta take care of her, and we gotta have a good time. So we're bringing the camper down there, gonna camp for the weekend, and we're actually leaving in about 14 hours now to head on over there. So you know, should be a pretty good show. There's a pre-party tomorrow night. There's three bands playing. I only know one of them. The bands are Cadaver Dogs, Eve to Adam, and then the little pre-party headliner is Red, White, and Crew, who I can only guess has got to be some kind of... I've looked them up online. I can't find them. They've got to be some kind of Motley Crue cover band. That's the only thing I can think of. But Eve to Adam, I've actually seen them perform before, and they've got some pretty good songs, so I'm looking forward to seeing them. But day one, this festival is spread out on three different stages. It's the main stage is the Carolina stage, the Monster Energy Carolina stage. The second stage is the Monster Energy Rebellion stage. The way they have this build out is, it looks like those two stages are actually headliner stages because you got headliners on both stages. I mean, like major headliners. I've never been to Carolina Rebellion. I've been to Rock and Range many times. The secondary stage is always a smaller stage, so they kind of distinguish the fact that the main stage was for the main bands. But I'll know a little more tomorrow night if that's how it works for Carolina Rebellion. I have a feeling it's not. I think it's just two main stages. And then they have the Jägermeister stage, which is the third stage, which is the smaller, more up-and-coming bands or some of the nostalgic, you know, making-run bands. The show kicks off with Truck Fighters. Never heard them before, but I'm going to go check them out. Trivium, who I have seen before. Look forward to seeing them. They'll be on the Rebellion stage. And then I get to go see Adelita's Way for, like, the fourth time on the Carolina, the main stage. And then I got to run over to see Devour of the Day. I've seen them before. They're a pretty decent act. And then I get to see Rebellion stage, Blackstone Cherry. Seen them a couple times, and they're pretty good too. This is good rock and roll right there, just like rock and roll. Nothing heavy. It's just old school rock and roll. They've been up together a long time, and then a little BLS on the main stage, the Carolina Bay stage, Black Label Society. Seen them before. Zach Wilde's awesome. They're just metal, awesome. You know, old school metal. So Black Label Society, another good band to watch. And then I get to go see a band called The King. I've heard them a couple times on Octane. They're a pretty good band. They're going to be on the Jägermeister, you know, the third stage. After that, the second stage will be Killswitch Engage with their new lead singer. I've seen them a couple times with the old guy, the older singer. So it's going to be different hearing them this way before. But I'm a Killswitch Engage guy. I like them. I'd love for CM Punk's entrance music when that was them. But hopefully they're good with the new guy as they were before. Then I got to see Anthrax again. I saw them at Rock in the Range last year. They're not too bad. This is an older band, so it's cool to always see some of those older bands. They're going to be on the main stage. After that, I get to see Thousand Foot Crutch for the second straight year. Not bad. They're a good up-and-coming band. Then I get to see Seether again. more, a little more mid-card, I would say, if we're talking in wrestling terms, mid-card established, but they always put on a pretty good show as well. And then Volbeat's going to be on the main stage. Seen Volbeat a couple times. They're just an entertaining band. They do, you know, a song with Johnny Cash in it, and they even cover Johnny Cash or Ring of Fire song. They do usually. I've seen them perform it both times, so that should be pretty good. Again, as they usually put on a good show. After that, now here's a band I'm really looking forward to seeing that I've never seen before. They're gonna be the headliner for day one of the Jägermeister stage. Fozzy, Chris Jericho. They sent something out the other day saying they're doing band signings, where you get to basically buy the CD, you get to meet the band, shake their hands, and you might get a picture with them, and then they sign the CD and everything. So Fozzy will be the one band because of my wrestling fanism, I guess you could say. I get to see Chris Jericho, get to meet Chris Jericho. So that will be the one band I actually go buy autographs for. And the autographs usually, unless they're different, like a Rock on the Range, it was you buy the CD, which is like $10, you get the CD, they sign the CD, and you get to meet him. That's worth it to me because, honestly, I don't have any Fozzy CDs. I don't have any Fozzy music. Because I've never really been a fan of the music. But, like I said, it's like I got to meet him because Chris Jericho is one of my all-time favorite wrestlers. So, but maybe it'll be good live. I don't know. I know that he is good friends with M. Shadow's Vince Sevenfold. He had him on his podcast before. And, you know, maybe I know they just recorded a song with M Shadows for Fozzy, so maybe it's a possibility Shadows comes out and does that duet with Jericho, which would be kind of cool. I can mark out for that crazy big time. Rob Zombie is the headliner of the second stage Rebellion stage, and that's the one that makes me believe that those two stages are like both main event stages, because Rob Zombie is a main event guy. He headlined Rock in the Range not last year but the year before that. The main stage, he was like the weekend closer, if I remember right. Then a couple years before that, and he came out before Limp Bizkit, who sucked, and everyone kept saying he should have been the headliner. So that would be kind of cool. And then the close out Saturday night is one of my favorite current band of Ben Sevenfold. I'm a big A7X fan. I got a tattoo on my right leg. That's going to be pretty all right seeing them again. Those guys are never bad. Never bad. I've been following Ben Sevenfold since 2005, I believe, when I saw them. I never listened to their music until I saw them in concert at Rockin' Park in Nuremberg, Germany, when I was stationed over there. And I got to see them twice. And that's when I just started following them. And so I can say I'm a legitimate Ben Sevenfold fan. You know, I didn't start catching them when they got mainstream. I was one of their fans before they became mainstream. So, so a good way to close out the weekend, not the weekend, but the Saturday night, and then should be fun. I get done around 11, get back to the campsite, drink a couple more beers, maybe cook a steak or two, and then get up the next day. These start off, the first band, Truck Fighters, starts at 12, and then Vince Enfield closes at 11. So it's 11 straight hours of rock and roll music, all types of rock and roll. It's gonna be fun. Stay two is not as, I guess you can say, packed as day one is, because some of the bands are a little lesser known. Some I've heard of but never seen before. But, I like to run around and see all these bands. There are a couple that I might skip just so I can get good room for certain ones. I'll go over those right now. Gemini Syndrome, they open up the day at 1 o'clock, and they'll be on the Jaeger stage, the third stage. The second stage is going to be a band called Nothing More. Never seen them, never heard of them until I saw this lineup. They're going to be in the second stage. So I'll check them out. I've got nothing else for that time. Then the first band, which really throws me for a loop, the first band on the main Carolina stage is Hell Yeah. And Hell Yeah is another one of my really current favorite bands. I actually, a couple years ago, me, Paul, and a bunch of our friends, my wife and everything, we went and saw them at the Uproar Festival, and we got to meet them and everything, and I got this Dimebag Dale shirt I had made up, signed by all the members of the band. I got this poster, which I'm looking at on my wall right now, that was pretty badass. They all signed it, so that was pretty cool. I love Hell Yeah. They're about to release their fourth album. Their first three albums were awesome. They got harder and harder as the albums went on. But they're just very, I just love the music. Very entertaining. I love Vinnie Paul. You know, Chad Gray is awesome. Chad Gray is a cool dude too. Funny story, when we did meet him, I had the shirt I wanted him to sign. I was wearing it, and when I actually Chad Gray was the first guy at the table to sign, and I went up to him. I was like, "Hey man, I don't want to sound like a queer or nothing, but would you mind signing my shirt?" And he stopped, put his pen down, and started laughing his ass off. He goes, "Dude, you mean to tell me you came up to Hell Yeah and you say don't be a queer? I don't want to sound like a queer or nothing, but can you sign my shirt?" Yeah, sure, why not? And it was just, the guy was still legitimately laughing. It was cool. I made Chad Gray laugh his ass off. It was fucking hilarious. It was pretty fucking cool. He was a really cool dude. And then I got seen him perform, and they were awesome. So, yeah, that's one of the bands I'm really looking forward to seeing, because, you know, they're awesome. Yeah, it's straight from start to finish. Every song is badass. I don't think they covered any songs before. I don't really know. I don't think they do any covers. They might. I'll check it out. I don't remember the last time, but yeah. Yeah, that's one of the ones I'm looking for. 12-Foot Ninja, not a fan. Heard him before. You know, I don't even know if I don't even think I'm gonna go sit there and watch them. Fuel's, and they're gonna be on, by the way, on the Jägermeister stage. Fuel's gonna be on the Rebellion stage, the second stage after that. Another one of those late '90s, early 2000 bands I've never seen before. So I'll go check them out. I want to make sure I check them out. The thing I get to now, I go to these festivals, these concerts, is I've been to so many of them, I've seen so many bands, and now I like to see bands I've never seen. So even if they're not the greatest bands, I still want to check them out, because it's like a nostalgia thing. After that, Theory of a Dead Man's going to be on the Carolina main stage, and they're always pretty decent too. So we'll check them out as well. Then Red Light King is going to be on the Jägermeister stage. I've seen them before Rocket Range last year, I believe. Very entertaining band, so I'll be looking forward to seeing them again. That Alter Bridge will be on the Rebellion stage. I've been a fan of Miles Kennedy since I saw them in 2006, I want to say, at Rockin' Park in Germany. Alter Bridge are pretty badass. You guys, they do Edge's theme song, Menelingus, how the fuck you say it. But, you know, Miles Kennedy is a very talented guy. When he's not performing at Alter Bridge, he's touring with Slash and the Conspirators. So Alter Bridge is pretty decent, too. Then on the main stage, The Day to Remember. I've seen him before. I'm not a big fan, but, you know, I might check him out. I don't know yet. Memphis Mayfire is one of those late additions. They canceled one of the bands canceled, so Memphis Mayfire will then close out the Jägermeister stage for the weekend, and then it's all headliners after that. Stain is going to be next on the second stage, Rebellion stage. Stained a couple times. Actually, the first year in 2008 when I went to Rock on the Range, I knew some of the recruiters over there, and they actually got me back there to meet them. I wasn't too impressed. Aaron Lewis, they were kind of cold with everybody. They even knew we were military, and Aaron Lewis comes off all the time about being all pro military and all that stuff, but they're kind of cold with us. But still, I like Stained. They've gone back to the, you know, the little harder, darker shit in the last album. So they just ended their hiatus because Aaron Lewis was doing his country music, which actually is not bad. I like country too, but I'm mainly a rock guy. But no, Stain isn't really that bad. Sometimes they just don't feel like, I feel like they don't have their heart in it. And when I saw them a couple years ago at Rock on the Range, I found out that it was their last tour for a couple years, and they went on hiatus after that, and now they're back together. They just got back together. I think it was Rock on the Rockville last weekend in Jacksonville. And then there's a band that, one of those 90s bands that I wasn't never a big fan of, but I might check them out. I don't know. I might stick around for the band that's closing out the Rebellion stage. But 311 is the second to last on the Carolina stage. I don't know if I'm going to check them out or not. I'm never a big fan of their music. It's kind of weird rock. It's almost hippie-like rock. I'm not a hippie rock fan, but I may or may not. Yeah, it's gonna be one of those last moment decisions, we do it or not. And I gotta remember, I'm pulling a pregnant wife around. I mean, obviously she's only like 2 months along, but I don't want to overdo it with her. She's been sick lately, so we'll see how she's feeling. Then the headliner, excuse me, of the second Rebellion stage is Five Finger Death Punch. I've seen Five Finger Death Punch two or three times. I can't remember exactly what it is, but these guys put on one of the best live shows you will ever see in your life. Straight up, they are fantastic. Their music is great. They get everybody involved. If you buy their last two albums, you know, get one of the live editions, and you'll see why. And it's just, you know, you'll understand if you ever see them live. They're, and if you haven't already, check them out live. They're badass. And then the close out the weekend, Kid Rock, seen him before. You know, I just hope he doesn't really play his country crap. He'll get booed off the stage. His country music sucks. Like I said, I like country, but some people just shouldn't do country. So, but yeah, other than that, overall, good show. Day one's packed, so that's going to be a lot of running around if my wife can take it. I will give kind of a mini review of my podcast next week. Like I said, this is not just about wrestling anymore. I kind of want to throw some other stuff in there, tidbit stuff, maybe talk more about sports, you know, the playoffs going on. But this is something, music is something that, you know, it's something I love. Music, sports, you know, my family, of course, number one, but music and sports are my thing. That's one of my tattoos go to. But yeah, this is going to be pretty badass weekend. Really looking forward to it. Be camping out all weekend, leaving tomorrow. I hook up with a friend over there who we haven't seen in a couple months. He actually does the news over there. His name's Kyle McCurry. Check him out. He does it now, or he lives over in Hickory, North Carolina. And he's going to have a busy month, though, because, you know, the two races are coming down the Charlotte Motor Speedway later on this month, which I'm going to head down to. I'll probably give a little review about those races as well, because I'm a race, like I said, sports fan, race fan, big Dale Jr. fan. Which reminds me, he almost won that race last week. Fuck. Stupid brake pedal. But that's about it for that main stuff. A couple more things I want to hit on before I leave. Before I get out of here. Just a couple of WWE Network tidbits I saw. It looks like they're going to start adding Monday Nitros to the vault section of the network here pretty soon. That'll make Paul really happy, so he don't have to keep looking for... you know, trying to download all these, you know, all of these old, you know, this beat up versions of Nitro. He can actually do his podcast and be happy about it and watch good versions of it. So that'd be pretty cool. But overall, the I can't complain about the network. Even if they do boost it up, like I said, as long as they keep it around $20 a month, I'll still buy it. I watch that Legends House. Legends House isn't bad. You can tell it was filmed a couple years ago. I guess that's my only gripe with it. Having them clean out a, you know, horse shit out of a thing doesn't really make sense to me, but, you know, it is what it is. That's right. What's his name there? Rose is making his debut next week, so that'd be pretty cool. And I am a believer. But yeah, the network's pretty badass. Another death in the wrestling community. Lee Marshall died last week as well. Paul hit up on that today in his podcast. Stagger Lee did his horrible weasel jokes during his Nitro, as you can hear from Paul and during his Nitro cast. Yeah, a lot of people don't remember. He was actually one of the commentators of the Los Angeles section of WrestleMania 2. I forgot about that. I actually went back and listened to it after I read that and watched it and listened to him talk. And he's been around. He was around wrestling for a very, very long time. So yeah, kind of sad. In case you're wondering, that song that I'm playing my intro and outro to today is actually a Hell Yeah song. It's their new single called Sangre Por Sangre, Blood for Blood. It's a pretty cool song, pretty badass. You can download it on iTunes. It's pretty all right. So I think that about covers everything. If I missed anything, I do apologize. I will make a better script for myself when I do these podcasts, but I have fun doing them, so I'll keep on listening. You know, tell your friends, to let them tell a friend, and then tell a friend, and, you know, I don't make any money off it. I do it for fun. I like to express my opinion. I'm a very opinionated motherfucker. So if that's not, I think that's about it. Check me out at @CastaChampion on Twitter or at Mike Spiesman, or go to facebook.com/castofthechampions. Try to get some stuff on there, you know, as well. And other than that, you stay classy, internet wrestling community. Peace.
Take a seat and listen to the lies they love to preach, because the truth would regret. Case that's up.